Hello and welcome to Gen X, Y, and I, a conversation where three generations of positive people featuring real world Dar, that's me, millennial Jen,
that's me,
and not so silent Bob.
Well, how do they get that?
We'll make you laugh, we'll make you think, and we'll always end on a happy note. So in today's episode, we're going to be answering a question about our grandmothers. This should be fun. And maybe talking about a funny story that we have about her. How's everybody doing?
I'm doing good, but I don't know how I'm going to answer that question about grandma in, what, I get 1 minute?
We might give you a minute and a half, 90 seconds.
Oh, my God. Well, then I'll skip the funny part. I'm just going to talk about the serious part.
So, Bob, how about we let you go first?
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about your grandmother and maybe a quick funny story.
Okay. Well, I'll try to do this quickly. Does that mean I should talk faster? Would that help?
Not necessarily.
No. Okay.
Do you, Bob?
Well, basically, I'm first born in this country, so my grandmother came from Poland.
Uh-huh.
So did my dad, actually. And she told me the story, and it was it was just an amazing story. She showed me this big wad of money once when I was a kid. I mean, a huge stack of money. And she says, "You see this?" And I says, "Yeah." I says, "What is it, Grandma?" Well, I actually called her Busha, because that was the Polish name for, at least the name we used for Grandma.
Okay.
And I asked her what it was. She said, "Well, this is the money that they got when they sold the farm in southern Poland."
Wow.
And I said, "So why do you still have it?" She says, "Because when they came over on the boat, the country of Poland ceased to exist in the armistice of World War I, and the money was worthless. So she sold the farm. They came to the United States with no money, and she came by herself with a small boy, well, a boy and a girl, my dad and his sister.
Wow.
And they met my grandfather, who was already in this country. And
okay.
He helped send for them. But you know, like a lot of Polish people, they started in Pennsylvania working in the coal mines, and they ended up in Chicago.
Wow, did your dad have other siblings, or was it just the two of them?
Just his sister and himself.
Wow.
That was it. Yeah, and he came when he was 12. So he had to learn the language. And I remember, now we're not talking about grandfather, we're talking about fathers, but I remember him telling me how he was really picked on a lot when he was in school because they put him in first grade since he couldn't speak the language.
Wow, and he was 12?
Yeah.
Amazing. I can't imagine, that's really powerful. Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
So my granny, I call her Granny Ann. I was pretty much raised by my mother was a single parent, so she had me at 16. So I was raised by my mother and my grandmother along with my mother's siblings. We were all under one roof. My mom was the oldest of five. So my granny was sassy. She was a sassy pants.
So that's where you get that.
Oh, yes. It's genetic. Well, my mom wasn't so sassy, but I think it skipped a generation. Just
that happens a lot.
Yes, talking about generations. But so my grandmother was always about, she was like the community grandma. So if she was cooking for us, it was cooking for the whole neighborhood. And so she was the one that pretty much was like the watchdog of the neighborhood, and everybody wanted to hang out at our place. But I do remember vividly one time, this is a funny, funny story. My uncle refused to wash the dishes. It was his turn to wash the dishes. And so Granny Ann, she asked him one final time. She said, "Get in there and wash the dishes." And he was still just slow dragging around. So she commenced to going into the kitchen and breaking dishes.
Oh.
Yep. She, if you're not going to wash them, I'm going to break them. And so then he pretty much got up off his tush after that.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, but if that is an indicator of how sassy she was, that is how my grandmother was. Yep. Granny Ann, but love her to life. And she's deceased now, but I think her legacy does live on through me. I'm a little sassy pants sometimes.
No, not little. I wouldn't say little.
Oh, huge. Huge sassy pants.
Oh, Bob.
He gets in trouble every week. I don't understand. Jan, what about you?
All right. Well, my mom's mom is my grandma Violet, and she is also passed. But I was really blessed that my mom worked. And so after school, I got to go to Grandma Violet's house every day, and we got to spend a lot of time together. And I love my grandma Violet. She was a hoot. She's probably the funniest woman I ever met. And she would say things that no one else dare say.
Ah.
And so give us dare an example. Say. Oh, dar. Well,
like, no vulgarity, please.
One of the stories my uncle will tell is that they went on a, my grandma liked to take trips. Mm-hmm. She liked to go to Wendover and gamble, and she liked to do bus tours across the country. And, you know, before they'd get off the bus driver would say, well, here are some fun things you can do at the hotel. And one of the things was swimming. So one night my grandma just assumed the whole bus was going to all head down to the pool once they got into the hotel. And my grandma was probably in her 70s at this point. So she goes down to the pool in her little swimsuit and is waiting for all of her friends to arrive, and nobody showed up. So she was the only one down in the pool. So the next day she gets on the bus and she asked the bus driver if she could just have his microphone for a minute.
Uh-oh. And she, this does not sound like a good ending, but go ahead.
No, and she just said, excuse me, but you are not supposed to swim alone. And the bus driver said swimming was fun and I wanted some fun and nobody showed up and I had to swim alone. She's like, I was all alone in my lonesome. If I had drowned last night, whose fault would it have been? It would have been your fault and your fault and your fault. Nobody showed up to swim with me. So my grandma just, you know, she told people what she thought, and she didn't keep a lot to herself. Anyway, she was a really funny lady. So, but that wasn't the story I was going to tell about Grandma Violet.
Tell us. We got time.
Yeah.
All right. So when I'm in fifth grade, there is a fifth grade talent show. And, you know, most people are taking music lessons, dance lessons. They're playing the piano. And I say, Grandma, I think I want to do stand-up comedy for the fifth grade talent show. And so my grandma and I went through all these, like, hunting and fishing magazines, Reader's Digest, like, trying to find jokes that I can tell as a 10-year-old. I don't know what 10-year-old wants to do stand-up comedy for the talent show. But I even made up some horrible jokes with my Grandma Violet. And I got up there and, you know, everybody's doing their talents, and I get it for mine, and I start telling jokes like a stand-up comedian, you know, and all of the 10-year-olds, just their eyes are glazed over, like, what is she doing? And all of the fifth grade teachers are like rolling with laughter in the background. And so I just went with it and I told my stupid jokes. But I just remember my grandma was so supportive of whatever I wanted to do. So I do credit her with a lot of my talents and my communication skills and just overall not having a filter. So
very cool.
Yes.
We got some very special grandmas.
Yeah.
Grannies, grandmas, grandmothers.
So I have a question for Bob. Bob, did you say you got to spend a lot of time with your grandparents?
Oh yeah, we lived the old fashioned way. We lived in Chicago, and we lived in what they call a two flat in Chicago. A two flat meant that my mom and dad and my brother and I lived downstairs, and my grandma, my grandfather, my aunt, my uncle, and my two cousins lived upstairs, and they shared cost on heating and stuff like that. So yeah, I spent an awful lot of time with my grandma and my grandfather until he passed, and he passed when I was about maybe 5 years old or something like that. I remember him. I don't remember him a lot. I remember him taking me to the beach a lot. That was about it. So yeah, it's wonderful to be able to spend a lot of time with your grandparents, and I wish I had more time to spend with mine, actually. Well, I say that now that they're not here.
Yeah, that's true.
But when they are here, I still love them, but it's nice to have a break too.
Wow, Bob. Tell us how you really feel. I can't tell.
No, I kind of wonder if it's changing a little bit where grandkids don't get to spend as much time with their grandparents anymore. Mm. I'm not sure if it's cultural or if what it is, but my kids don't get to see their grandparents very often, so.
Yeah, you know, I do have one regret from my grandmother.
What's that?
We did not force her to write down any of her recipes.
Oh.
And I mean, they're just lost. They're because she never really wrote down recipes. So every time it was just It was just something magical happens when she was cooking. But we don't, we didn't capture any of, if I could get at least one legacy from her, it would be her like fresh, like homemade rolls and how she made collard greens and everything was good. But yeah.
I'm right there with you. My grandma made a potato salad that no one can duplicate. Even if she did write down the recipe, I don't think it would be grandma's. And she had a fruit cake that everybody sat about. But I will tell you, my grandma made the best hash browns. I didn't know what she did. But after I got married, my husband and I went to visit her. And we said, Grandma, will you just make us some of your special hash browns? And she goes, absolutely. And she took a big tub of butter. Then she grabbed a spatula and she just dug deep in that butter and slapped at least a cup of butter down in the bottom of that pan. And I thought, okay, Grandma, I get it.
Butter makes everything good.
I get how your food tastes so good. And I also get why she had a massive heart attack at 79. The amount of butter that woman put into her food. But boy, did it taste delicious.
I am a butter connoisseur. It has to be real butter, too. I don't do fake stuff.
I'm surprised you guys that your grandma didn't teach your mom, to do some of the cooking and stuff, because that's what happened in our family, because we lived in the same building.
Yeah.
Almost everything that my grandma knew how to make, she taught to my mom, and I think my mom taught a little bit to my wife.
Yeah, it was lost, and I think it was lost with my grandmother, so.
Yeah, same here. My mom and my grandma were very opposite. So like Dar said, I kind of felt like some of that stuff skipped a generation. But we're trying to eliminate the massive amounts of butter from our lives over here.
But I do document recipes now. So I'm just writing them down because I get in the kitchen and create stuff. So it's kind of fun. Well, thanks for joining us today and thanks for listening. Remember that you can always check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Jen, X, Y, and I. And don't forget, if you have a topic that you want us to talk about across three generations, give us a call and leave us a message or a text message at 313-437-2959. And finally, email us at GenXYandI@gmail.com. That's GenXYandI@gmail.com. So thanks for listening with us today, and we will see you or listen to you or check you out or touch base with you or connect with you on our next podcast.
Bye.